Okay.
I'm Mildred Mahoney, and Bill Schultz is here with me, and we're visiting at the home of Bill and Fern Hayes in Biber, Kentucky, and we want to talk to Fern now about her experiences at Pine Mountain.
You want me to start now and tell you that I first went to Pine Mountain when I was 14. I went to Pine Mountain because there was no place for me to go to high school after I graduated from the 8th grade, unless I caught a train and went to Hazard, and then that would be impossible because it wouldn't fit schedules. Mm-hmm. My mother wanted me to go to Stuart Robinson, but I had cousins going to Pine Mountain, and I wanted to go to Pine Mountain. I'd heard about Pine Mountain. So off I went. My dad had to drove me over in a car, went through Whitesburg, and let me out at Laden Trail with my suitcase and a guitar. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we had a boy with us, Richmond McIntyre, who was also going to Pine Mountain, and my cousin. So Richmond helped me get across the mountain with my guitar and my suitcase. I always was grateful to him for that, because we had to hike. We took shortcuts. As you know, that road winds, but it had shortcuts that cut off some of the wind. Long haul up the mountain. And then we got to the other side. It was almost a sheer drop-off, because you went not the way you go now. You went toward the school, dropped right off the mountain there, and we came out the hollow where the Nolan store was. And my first view of Pine Mountain was that down where the schoolhouse was. We came in on that road, which I think now it's the road that goes to your dump, where your little dump house where you put your garbage. And it was the most beautiful place I'd ever seen. And I was never homesick at Pine Mountain. Kids got homesick and left, but I never.
About what year was that?
It was 1931. I went in September 1931. And I hadn't yet had my 15th birthday, which I had shortly in October. And I went to the office, and they checked me in and said, "You're going to live in Firehouse." So up to Firehouse I went. And the first night, the house mother wanted me to go help her make a bed. That's when I learned to make corners on your sheets, you know. We had to make a bed for a worker that was in the office. I think she might have been a bookkeeper. Hilda Kahn, a long time ago. And I think I remember her doing a modern dance on the stage. That must have been the time when modern dance was just taking roots around and about. So we had several that came through Pine Mountain that did a little ditty on the stage. That's my first experience with work at Pine Mountain. Later on, I've cut grass with scissors between stepping stones. The cows fortunately mowed most of the grass, but they didn't get it between the stones, so that was a chore. In the springtime, it was a great time for house cleaning. And what they did at Pine Mountain, they didn't have paint on the walls at Firehouse. You had to take old brown soap and scrub it with a scrub brush and then wipe it all off with a wet cloth. Hmm. My hands have never looked the same since.
And did you do other things, like, for instance, working in the kitchen? And did
mostly
you have to do that?
I was circulated. I went different places. My second 6 weeks at Pine Mountain were spent at Practice House, Country Cottage. And that little house was something else. We had little stoves upstairs. And we had two bedrooms upstairs for the girls. I think there were six of us. And I don't know why we didn't burn the place down. You built a fire in those little stoves, and they got awfully hot. House mother lived downstairs, and she had a fireplace. But I was so hungry at Practice House, they didn't give the house mother enough funds to feed us real well, I think.
Goodness.
We were supposed to be practicing how we were going to live when we got out of Pine Mountain, I reckon. I remember that somebody, we had a chicken, had to kill a chicken. Nobody wanted to ring chicken snake. I was the one that did it.
You knew how to do it.
Oh, yeah. I'd seen my mother do it, so I knew how to do it. And then I worked in Laurel House, and the Morrises had visitors, and one of the workers at Laurel House called me aside and questioned me about this visitor. I knew nothing about this visitor, of course. If I had, I wouldn't have told her. Worked for Miss Gaines, who was wonderful. She had been at Pine Mountain a long time, and then she later went on down to Brasstown. Uh-huh. And the girls all said, "Oh, you hate working for Miss Gaines. She's rough. She's tough on you." But she wasn't. She called me Little Fernie. Usually I had to go around and find her to find a job, another job. I'd get one done and had to go find her to get it done. So one day I didn't find her, and they were working in the cutting cabbage on a machine in the kitchen. I said, "Let me do that." Okay. I cut off a little piece of my thumb.
Oh, no.
So that's my Pine Mountain scar.
And well, when you mentioned, when you mentioned a country cottage before, that's the same country
cottage,
I take it,
yeah.
Up on the hill.
That has quite a story in my life, of course.
Mm. Yes. I was hoping you'd pick that up later on.
Well, after, when we did go come home for Christmas, but I can't remember, Daddy must have met me at Leyden again. I remember walking across the mountain in tennis shoes, and it was muddy. I don't think I took my guitar home that time. I think I left it until I came back. I did graduate with the, I don't know why they did it, but you know, you graduated from the 8th grade, okay. Mm-hmm. Got to Pine Mountain and you graduated from the 9th grade. Oh, we had to make graduation dresses, and I had Miss Kingman help me make my dress. But I wasn't one of Miss Kingman's students, because when they started sorting out for how's the girls that would do homemaking, mm-hmm. home economics, and they had too many girls in the freshman class. So they looked at me and they said, "You're going to do weaving." I'm so grateful they did.
Yes.
I still weave.
That started something.
That's wonderful, yeah. And that was great fun. I even wove enough material to make a little jacket and a skirt. Horrible. Mm-hmm. It's just like twine that you worked with. I had a rickety old loom, but I got it all done and brought it home and made it up, wore it a while. Then after the graduation, another thing I did at Pine Mountain, which I thought was, it was such a beautiful place. The post office, I think, was up above Big Log. Up there, I think it was up the road.
Wow.
And there was a path that you went through, a little wood lot right on past Big Log, and a little stile, you walked over the fence. But there was a section there that was absolutely fascinating. All the little wild things that grew on the bank, the mosses, just gorgeous. And one spring day when the sun was about like today, it was a Sunday, and I got into the creek. And it was beautiful. I went all the way down that creek and gathered little mosses and flowers and took them to a firehouse and put them around the little drinking fountain. But I guess I had too much cold. I ended up at the hospital with a bad cold. Yeah. But that was a wonderful year. And I was a skinny thing, awfully skinny. And they kept trying to fatten me up, and they gave me cod liver oil, just straight cod liver oil. Oop, yuck. And they gave me a whole bottle to take down to my dormitory in Laurel House. And it kept sitting on the shelf and looking worse and tasting worse and worse and worse. And some girl said, "What is that?" I said, "That's cod liver oil, and it's awful. You want to get rid of it?" I said, "Sure." She said, "I'll do it." And she went to the window and tossed it out in a limestone branch.
Oh.
And it made a noise. And the house mother that lived next door to where we were came out, "Girls, what was that?"
Maybe it's still out there.
Probably the glass is. So then they sent me up to the hospital each day to take my dose of cod liver oil.
Oh, you didn't gain anything.
I didn't gain a thing, except maybe the cod liver oil tasted a little better. I think the stuff had soured. It was awful. It was absolutely horrible. It was good for me, I'm sure. Maybe, if I'd been taking it regularly. The year ended, and I came home, and I had scoliosis, but they called it adolescent rickets. And I still got an awful curvature in my spine that, just from that thing and sort of caved-in ribs. And we had friends down in Lexington, and they wanted me to go to Lexington and see the doctor there. And so I went, and they made a brace for me. And by that time, Viper had instigated 2 years of high school. So my parents said, well, you can go to Viper next year. It's costing me $7.50 a month to go to Pine Mountain. And Daddy, it was in the Depression, and Daddy was having a hard time because the banks had gone down, and his funds had gone down with the bank, and he had debts. And he had a country store, so he had to pay the debts off. Well, I started school, and it was a hot summer, and that brace was miserable, and so I just dropped out and didn't go to school that year. But I learned a lot. I started painting. I pieced a quilt or two, and sewed a lot, and read whatever I could find. And then the next year, I went to Viper. Had my second year of high school at Viper. But I had only three subjects because I'd had the others that they were teaching. Mm-hmm. It was just one teacher for the whole group.
For the high school.
For the high school. And it was 2 years of high school. The library was a little cabinet like that, about as far to there, odds and ends. And they had dietetic book in there. I loved to read that. That was fun. And the dictionary was great. So I did a lot of reading there. And the next year, there were, of course, no more high school in Viper, off to Pine Mountain again. Fortunately, they took me back.
Oh, so that was
in 1934.
That 11th grade or 4 year?
That was my junior year.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
So, okay.
Now, when did you get started in music at Pine Mountain?
Oh, the octet?
Yes.
I'll tell you about that. I'll tell you what happened to me on that one. I finished high school at Pine Mountain and was singing with this group, but also had made application to Berea College, and they had accepted me. And
you never got there.
Glenn Morris said, oh, you can go to Berea next year. This will be a wonderful experience. Come back to Pine Mountain and we'll go on a tour. Okay, all right. So we did, I did. And I had extra courses at Pine Mountain, and they started me out in the office. And I guess I got my college at Pine Mountain. I don't know what would have happened if I'd gone to Berea. I may not be around now. Who knows what would have happened. We started practicing for our tour, and Alice Cobb started getting places to go and all that stuff. And so somewhere I have a schedule here that we did. We were in the newspaper off and on. I think Dorothy Nace took
the octet.
A newspaper clipping here of the octet.
Dorothy Nace cleared the office once on a time, and she just gave me some of this stuff, and some of it I don't know what she did with it.
Thank goodness you saved some of it.
This the Kansas City Times, so you traveled to Kansas
Yes, we
City.
Had. We did about 3,000 miles of travel. And all the time we were practicing, they were building that organ. We watched them put the organ together. This is our schedule, and the silverfish has been at it, so I meant to get Philip to copy it for me.
Good. You, St. Louis, Kansas City, Chicago, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Lakewood, Detroit, Pennsylvania, New York, Stamford, Connecticut, Morristown, and back to New York.
Went all over the place.
Had you girls been singing together before they started getting ready for this tour?
Yeah. I don't know how he happened to put us together, but he did. That was part of the.
Okay. And Dodd and Glenn Morris both worked with you, did they? Or just Dodd on practicing?
Dodd was practicing.
Uh-huh. Did Dodd go on the tour with you?
Oh, yeah, he was the pianist.
He was the driver.
And Bill Hayes was on the trip, but he didn't ride in the car. We went in two cars, and Glenn drove one, and Dodd drove the other. And Bill was in Dodd's car, and I was in Glenn's car.
The two boys, they were two boys.
Marion Turner, who was who married Alonzo's sister Christine.
Christine, yes.
There goes one of
those. Oh yeah.
They the curve down here in this railroad.
This one was Indianapolis paper. Not a picture of it, but that.
I see here this New York program. No, the White House program. They had a magician.
Yes, they had a magician on
this year. That was a nice combination.
This is very interesting, these clippings and programs.
But it was the best program I think we did was the one we did in Columbia, Missouri at Stevens College, a girls' college. But somehow that one just was a wonderful program. We just were in, did it well. And we stayed in private homes in most places. In Kansas City, of course, we ate dinner at Miss Hook's house.
Oh, cool.
And it was most interesting house.
The architect.
Yes.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Okay, tell us about the house and then tell us a lot more about Mrs. Hook. Yeah.
Well, the house had sort of a Grecian figure on the doors, as I remember it. And then there was a hallway you passed through and there were mirrors opposite each other. So if you look to the right, you saw infinity, yourself going that way. If you look this way, you saw your going, those mirrors were set in such a fashion as you could see yourself forever. It was an interesting house. Hmm. But the meal was interesting. It was the first time I had artichokes.
Uh-huh.
And the carrots, I remember, were squashed and served in a sort of a ring. I don't even remember the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, Bill? What kind of meat did we have at Mrs. Hook's house? Don't know.
I don't remember that.
I know I stayed in a house that had a Filipino manservant.
That was something
all
new.
All I remember that is eating in the East Room.
Oh, you remember eating
in the house? And the Marion Turner trying to cut a piece of that meat, and it went out on the table, and they're here. With all these.
It went into the magician's lab, didn't it?
That was at the White House.
Yeah. But that was the White House was not part of the first trip.
Uh-huh.
The White House came in 1937 in the spring. I guess the date's on this thing somewhere.
And what do you remember about Mary Rockwell Hook?
The first time I saw her, she looked the same as she did the last time I saw her. She had wrinkles, but she had a lovely personality.
Mm-hmm.
And she would come to Pine Mountain with her, one time she came with her colored chauffeur, and she had him up on a rock at open house, planting trillium on the rock.
Oh.
And then once she came and she decided to feed us at open house. This was after while I was working and living in practice house.
Uh-huh.
And one thing she said, this is what we do with the potato skins. She got some potato skins from the kitchen. We put them in a skillet with a little oil and cook them. Mm. That was what they used with their cocktails.
Do you remember, I know that sort of behind Laurel House there's that now it was burned down. All that's left is the chimney of a sort of a summer house.
Yeah,
back
but
there.
That's not part of open house. Open house's chimney was on one of those rocks. I drew a thing. I don't hope you
yes,
have it.
I've got that.
You'll have to show him that one.
The chimney, it was designed so that the chimney would stick out there on that big cliff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was there when
it
you
was
were there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was a lovely house. And somehow I ended up staying in that house a few nights. I think we had a surplus of girls and didn't have a place to put them at some point. And it was cold and damp, but lovely. Just a beautiful house.
But she built it too, pretty cheaply, and it was always called Pole House.
Well, that's another house.
Well,
this one, the
Pole House up on
as
the
I
west
it,
wind, and this house down there was yellow. Well, the poplar.
This house was made from parts that left over from Big Log, I understand. There were some parts of that, and the lumber was not dressed. It was very rough.
And they had it had the bark still on one side, didn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even the branches, little snags sticking out on the branches, because later our daughter got up there messing around when she was growing up at Pine Mountain and climbed out a window or something and cut an awful gash on her arm with one of those snags. it had two sleeping porches. And one time we had a visitor that wanted to visit Pine Mountain, and Mrs. Hook had bought some new beds, and so the sleeping porches were pretty decent. And there was nobody to stay with her, so they sent me to stay in the house with her. And I remember she'd been visiting Japan, so she started telling me about Japan. You know, the world came to Pine Mountain. It really did. The great thing you did was meet interesting people.
You know, one thing I wanted to mention to you about Pine Mountain at times now, those cows there are the automatic lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning we open the lower gate and see the boy on the right hand side?
Yeah. Picture
there. All right, this one boy is picked out to do this job. And so they were out there until about 2 or 3 o'clock in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's quite a few other projects too that was really interesting enough to go through those things and then have the people, the director and the Buildings and Grounds Committee and so forth. The last few years that I was there, I was coming up with something new. I did, near the end of the school, started taking milk and eggs to Harlan.
Right.
In one of the S.T. Turner's store over there. Uh-huh. That's where we sold the goods. Uh-huh. But there's some other things that I tried to do. I went out and got a little interested in things that's going in this wide, wide world, and things that I thought that would work at Pine Mountain, like here we've got a dairy, so my goodness, let's just be sure and treat every field that we've got with the manure from that. And another project, I burned limestone there, if you're acquainted with anything like that, because I had heard about it through one of the professors that came down from Lexington. But anyhow, we used two mules to pull a rock sled full of great big hunks of limestone rock.
Mm-hmm.
See the limestone? I didn't know whether you noticed the limestone seam in the mountain up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, we took that and that, all that fertilizer went to the fields that the cows were using.
Now, how did you burn it, Bill? Did you
indoors? This is the way we started. Now, this was a Brett Wilder and William Hayes project.
Okay.
That we started with. In other words, we started with just not every bit of that wood was green or green trees, but we started with every dead tree that we could find to be sure that we had enough heat to be able to cause the rock to get hot enough, and then it sure didn't take too long till it disintegrated so that you just had one big white sheet where we built it.
Huh.
And then we had this only way to get to the fields, like behind the big log up there right now, mm-hmm. up on the mountain there with Deshaun Field.
Uh-huh.
And we had to keep cows in a lot occasionally because we had to shift them back and forth. But then there was what manure that was left over, we tried to follow the University of Kentucky's new thing going on in agriculture anymore, is to get organic, get the soil looking like it will grow something besides just corn and beans and cabbage and so forth. But we didn't have enough acreage to be able to feed the cows hay that we had cut on the farm. We just didn't have the equipment and one thing. And then two, you needed all that good bottom land there if you're gonna have vegetables and extra food. Our hay that fed the cows in the wintertime when we didn't have the pastures to turn them out on here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I filled the silo every year, and that was a tremendous job.
Mm-hmm.
I always pass that old silo. It's up here at Cornett's Field, and I go by there. and say, well, that is part of Pine Mountain.
Yeah.
Out there, they after Pine Mountain shut down, while they bought the silo.
Okay.
And I'll show you. And all of the area that wasn't in vegetables and the seed corn and all the edibles and so forth, there was a tendency to start. This was picking up a University of Kentucky out of their book that they sent out once, or a small thin thing they sent out just every month. And a lot of them were really interested in Pine Mountain, and a lot of the boys, well, then hadn't had the boys, some of them especially, we wouldn't have done half of the things, but you pick out a good crew, and I'm sure that they left Pine Mountain knowing how to do some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way we had work hands in the morning and work hands in the afternoon. That's
right.
The way we divided the thing up.
Right.
And
well, this picture you referred to,
I painted it.
And is that Laurel House?
Yeah.
That's Laurel House.
That's the new Laurel House.
Yes, that's the new Laurel House. The old Laurel House really had more charm than this one has.
Well, that's what people say that knew it, but
yeah,
I think the new one is lovely.
Well, yeah.
The old Laurel House was down in this field that's right next to the...
Right about where the parking lot now is, it goes around.
And the one that's across the road there, that's got the sewer line running across it now, which never had that to keep up with. But I can remember that one instance there. We planted onions in there, onion sets, one year. I don't know, it must have been 4 or 5 rows, that's about 300 feet, long ways. And we had such a number of, or of pounds, let's say, of onions, we didn't know what to do with. But old Laurel House, being on down this way there, had a great big area under the floor.
Basement.
So I wasn't going to have those onions waste, and so I put them in there. But anyhow, that scent from those onions was something else, and so they called me Onion Haze. I can remember that very well.
Well, there were nice little touches you learned at Pine Mountain, like when Mrs. Hook had her meal at the open house, she had a tin can from the kitchen, and she popped some buckeye shoots, nice green leaves from the buckeye that had just sprouted that out.
Hmm.
That was her centerpiece.
And did she, how much time did she spend there at open house in general throughout the year?
Not a lot of time. She would come in maybe a week or maybe just a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
and usually in the warmer months. And,
oh yeah,
yeah.
It was cold. You couldn't have lived up there the winter.
Okay.
No way.
Yeah.
I think she knew I had a fondness for that house, and I think she approached Burton Rogers that she wanted Bill and me to have it, mm-hmm. But Burton discouraged that, and that was a good idea, I expect. that was a nice gesture on her part.
Yeah.
Well. Pick up, you started to say that what used to be called Practice House had a big part in your life. So,
first time I saw Bill Hayes was in the old Laurel House. He was walking through the dining room. And I said, there's John and Sylvan's brother. I had been the first year at Pine Mountain, I was in school with John and Sylvan in the class that graduated. And those were two handsome boys. All the girls were wild about those two Hayes boys. But
let me turn the tape over.
All right. I would say Bill and I took a tour group on Sundays. They used to take kids out for a hike on Sundays. And one Sunday, we were scheduled to take a hike up Pine Mountain with a group. And he started asking me the names of trees. And I think he was quite surprised that I knew the names of the trees. Then he asked me out a few times from here and there. And pretty soon I ended up Mrs. William Hayes. Had a beautiful wedding. All the octet were bridesmaids.
Oh, that's nice.
And Glenn Morris, I don't know what he had in mind. I still would like to know what he had in mind. I was secretary, but he demoted me to a house mother full of teenage boys. A bride, a house full of teenage boys. That was a dirty trick, really. And we lived in Farhouse, and I had a little apartment upstairs, and the boys had two sleeping porches full of boys. In fact, they had too many boys, and they had a couple of them out in a tent for a while. But they knew somebody was going to go home, so they didn't mind overdoing it.
Yeah. Were the boys at that time pretty well behaved, or were there many disciplinary problems?
No bad I had the only problem I had was two bedwetters. That was bad. I mean, there's nothing you could do about it. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't solve that one. Finally, they went to live with Miss Merle at Boy's House, and I guess she didn't do much better than I did. But that was the worst part of it. But sometimes they would make noise on the porch when they were supposed to settle down and go to sleep. And one night they were making noise on the porch, and I went to find out who was making the most noise, and it was David Martin. So we had a real prickly rug in our apartment. So David in his little thin pajamas, I brought him in, and I said, "You sit right down there." And so he sat and sat and sat. And then he said, "Miss Hayes, can I move up? This rug's sticky. I said, "Nope, you sit right there." Well, it happens that David Martin turned out to be my brother-in-law. He married my sister later on.
Does he still remember that?
Oh, yes. And I heard from another sister that he said to his own boys, they got in a battle somehow, and he made them sit there and told them to sit right there.
Oh, that's funny. And about what year was that?
1940.
Oh, okay.
We married in 1940.
Okay.
June 6th. Be 61 years pretty soon.
Oh, really?
Imagine.
I wanted to tell you about winning the county prize for the best pasture land.
Well, you want me to finish practice house first?
Two times, huh?
No way.
two separate seasons. I won it.
Best pasture land.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, everything that was needed to be able to keep healthy animals and give them better milk and so forth. So I thought that was a great award. And the other thing about it is those animals you see there are our share. And I wanted to do the herd. I generally try to have about 14 to 16 cows. That's about all we could handle.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, the get the silo full of insulage and have pastures kept up. We were able to run that many animals, except the railroad that came in there to find it went right by the front of the office. And right on up by Boy's House and up through there and up to the end of that creek up there. And when I first started there, that toot-toot of morning as they passed the school going down and as they come back out in the afternoon.
Whenever I hear about that train, I can't believe it existed because there's no tracks or anything anywhere left.
Yeah,
what happened to them all?
Well, they were out on the Creech farm out there after the Creeches quit using the land on that end. And when I was using the disc plow right with behind the tractor, I'd come up with the cross ties, just great mobs of them up through there. Yeah.
There's one of the rails that's in practice house.
Where in practice house?
You know, there's a big wide door between the dining room and the living room. It's a more or less one room.
Yeah.
When we moved up there, it had a little bitty door. It wasn't a conventional door, but it was a smaller door between the two rooms. And we took out that and put that that rail up there that holds the house. I guess it's still there. Anyway, while I was house mother, I was also brooding a child. And 1 week, he was born 1 week after school closed. And of course we had to have a house to live in, and we went to practice house. And it was falling down. You could have thrown a cat under out the walls in the kitchen where the house had floored separated from the walls. And while I was in the hospital, Bill got it in shape, put it so the cats couldn't come in. And we lived there for 14 years.
Wow. And again, practice house is known as Country Cottage.
Yeah, it really is the better name. Of Country House. They called it practice house because that's where the girls were supposed to practice how to live when they got back
I see.
Home.
Okay.
At one time, I think they had a cow. I'm not sure.
Yes.
I heard they had a cow. The walls had been papered with Christian Science Monitor. It didn't have pictures on it, you know. It had this fine print, and it sort of blurred, made a nice gray covering. That was the wallpaper.
Huh. That's was still it that way when you moved in up there?
You could see some of it, and we sheetrocked it.
Uh-huh.
It has boards underneath that, but underneath the boards we found the paper, some of it. But that was one of the things we did, to put sheetrock up so it would be warmer. And then I don't know why it didn't burn down, because we replaced the chimney later on while we were living there. Did an awful lot of work on that house just to keep it together. But Helen still loves it, likes to see practice house. And we lived in a rocky spot, and the kids were always falling down and getting knocks and bruises. And fortunately, I live close to the hospital, so I just pick them up and go across the road and get them sewn up.
Right.
The hospital was in the clinic building.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And having doctors next door was pretty convenient, too.
Right.
One day a doctor came over, Dr. Elizabeth, said, "I'm scared to death. Your children are going up and down the fire escape out the window." Later on, she said, after she had about five, didn't she? She said to me, "Now I know why you weren't concerned." They had a lovely place to grow up, you know. They had the whole campus to roam around in, and all the wilds and the frogs. And Steve got a pet crow. I think Charles Creech helped him get it out of a nest.
Oh, is that right?
And we had heard that if you split their tongue, they'll talk, but I didn't want to do that to a crow. We kept talking to the crow. We'd say hello when it came around. And one day I was sitting outside on the steps, stone steps, near the kitchen door, and I heard somebody behind me say, "Hello." I turned around, it was that crow. Oh, that crow didn't like Miss Rude. Every time she came up, it would flog her feet. She said, "Go away, go away, go away."
Miss Rude was the nurse.
Oh, okay.
I don't know whether this is legitimate or not, but I wondered if you would tell just a little bit about the different directors that were there in your time. Now, don't tell any scandals or anything, but just what their outstanding features were.
Well, I didn't really know any of them very well except Glenn. And he went off to the war, and I was in practice house raising a family. And the other directors that came in, I guess it was Mr. Webb. And then Mr. Benjamin.
And then Mr. Rogers.
And then Mr. Rogers. Yes, I knew Mr. Rogers because when the school closed, the boarding school, and he became director, he needed a secretary, and I was a part-time secretary, 50 cents an hour. And I continued that job right up to the day before Philip was born. I had a typewriter at the house that I'd been typing letters on. I left them on the typewriter and went to the hospital. And then when we moved to Putney, I took a typewriter with me, and he had a dictaphone, and he would bring stuff over, and I'd do type. I'd gone up to 75 cents an hour then.
Hmm. What kind of, what was that transition like between boarding school to the day school? Was that a very dramatic time? Or
It was hard, very difficult. I know Bill was run ragged trying to do everything that all the little boys had done. It didn't affect me much because I was, we didn't eat in Laurel House after we moved to Country Cottage. I think the school furnished us $10 extra so that Bill, I thought when we got married, well, I was doing my figures, I knew the salaries. we'll be pretty well off, you know. But then I got to be a house mother and that changed. I went down to $25 a month.
Hmm.
Bill stayed where he was until we moved to practice house, and that was 110.
Mm-hmm.
$5 a week for groceries was really quite expensive. We'd go across the mountain. Bill did most of the shopping. He would go with a truck or something and mm-hmm. get the groceries.
Model A Ford.
We didn't even have a vehicle for until when did we get a vehicle? 1942? No, 41.
You're talking about the one Britt and I went together in?
No. That was that old
Ford.
during the war, it was an old A model that
yeah.
Britt and Bill had put mm-hmm. together that we rode around in that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then we bought a Chevy. I'd managed to, out of my salary, did pretty good. At the time we married, I had $600 in the bank.
Well, good for you.
I'm a frugal lady.
Yeah.
I didn't feel pinched. In fact, I helped my dad out. I bought his, he had a nice coin collection, so I bought Daddy's coin collection when he was having such a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bought it back.
Mm.
Now I wish I'd kept it.
Well, are there any other things you remember about either about persons that were there or things that happened that outstand out in your memory?
Oh, I had scarlet fever my senior year.
Uh-oh.
And was six weeks in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We had fair day. And somebody must have brought in the measles because Virginia Lee Callahan, had scarlet fever and her mother expected her to die. Virginia tells me that her mother had made her funeral dress.
Uh-huh.
Mother was very depressing.
Hmm.
But I was put to bed and Dr. Bailey came over and diagnosed it. And I was upstairs and they wanted me downstairs in a ward, so Howard Burdine carried me downstairs and put in the ward. And I was 6 weeks there. And one time, Everett Wilson was going across the mountain and he brought back ice cream for me.
Oh,
it was so good. And he brought it up and I remember after he'd gone, Mrs. Shearer, Alice Carter Shearer. She was an artist and she was a really remarkable woman. Anyway, she came in and said, "Who was that?" And she didn't think he ought to. I was isolated, you know. They didn't, no antibiotics that did anything for scarlet fever then.
Hmm.
And my skin peeled off my hands. And my throat was very sore. Miss Bertha Cole was in the kitchen and she had made the most wonderful broth. The only thing about it was it had celery seed in it, which was kind of rough on my throat.
Yeah.
But that stuff pulled me through.
Hmm.
And Lexine Bird was the nurse.
Hmm.
She was the nurse the first year I was there too.
Hmm.
Then, there are a lot of people I think of occasionally. I know when the octet was singing, a group of a teacher and some boys, or maybe they were all teachers, I don't know, used to come and sit in the chapel and listen to us sing.
Hmm.
And one of them, I think, was eyeing me, and Glenn Morris didn't like that a bit, so he sort of got rid of him. Not that it bothered me. He was an Englishman, I wasn't interested. Then Fred Burkhart used to help me out in the office a lot when he came. He took a lot of the printing and did a lot of the printing and stuff, and that really took a load off my shoulders. But I hadn't planned to be a secretary, but that's what I turned out to be, and it, I guess it finished up with it.
Now, was Fred Burkhardt a student originally, or did he come as a staff member?
He came as a staff member. He was a Bria.
A Bria.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he was working in Louisville when he came with us.
And Esther Burkhardt came with the Antioch people, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, she was an Antioch. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Antioch people, always, they were interesting people. I had a couple of science teachers the first year, Johnson and Shoup, both Antioch. And I guess they'd had some before that. And then the Stapletons that lived out at Line Fork, they were interesting. When my brother spent a little time at Pine Mountain, and I don't know what he did, but and this was not right that they did. Glenn Morris asked me to tell him not to come back to Pine Mountain. And it wasn't my place to do that, but I did it. And my brother just, I think he resented that for years and blamed me for it.
Oh, dear.
But I finally put him straight on that. But anyway, Stapleton used to come over and talk in the chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was due to come one Sunday just to speak in the chapel, and he didn't turn up. And Glenn got worried about him because they had to ride horseback, you know. So he told my brother to get the horse and go see what had happened to Stapleton. And I think it was cold and snowy. So my brother went, and they said, it was bad weather. We went. And as my brother tells it, he didn't have any food either. They didn't save his Sunday dinner for him.
Oh,
my gosh. His experience at Pine Mountain wasn't too good. But I think the things about the place he did enjoy. Then, of course, my sister Pat followed. So Pine Mountain's really been a second home to me for an awful long time. But the other directors, I can't tell you. Webb, I barely knew. I knew the Benjamins better because in 1952, in August, we decided to take a tour of the West. So we said, we can camp out. That'll save some money. Okay. We'll get us a little oil stove. Somebody, I think Jess Cornett had a little one-burner oil stove, kerosene thing, and that we can cook on that. We loaded up the two kids and climbed in their car and off we went. And somewhere down in Tennessee, we started to cook breakfast, and we did, but we couldn't put the oil stove out. It wouldn't go out. I don't know what we did. We must have poured the kerosene out and finally shut it down, but we never tried to use that again. But we went to Arkansas where the Benjamins had bought a farm, and we put up our tent in their yard and stayed with the Benjamins a while.
Good.
And in the sometime I ran around and I stumped my toe on a tent stake and I still got a broken toe.
Oh, my.
Took me years and years to figure out that I had broken that toe. I knew it would hurt at that time, but now it's a very peculiar toe. And that's where I got it, in Arkansas, on a tent stake. Then we went on over into Ganado. The Dodds had just moved to Ganado. And spent a night with them, or a night or two or three, and saw the Indians, and they took us around in the country. And but we slept in the schoolhouse there. No bed. We had to pitch our camp rolls down and sleep on them. They said if they'd been there longer, they would have known what to do. They could have put us in a better position. But that was interesting anyway.
Yeah.
And somebody wanted to know how far we were going. And we said, we'll go where our money's half gone and we'll turn around and come back. And that's about practically what we did. We went up through Yellowstone, and then we finally crossed over into Indiana and came back down. Visited my sister in Indiana.
Made it pretty far.
Yeah. And then Philip was born about... I guess I was a month pregnant when we were touring. And Dr. Tracy Jones delivered Philip. And the two nurses. And Edna Patterson really took care of Philip for me. In the meantime, after that Western trip, I had a terrible cold. And I had had a physical with Dr. Bailey before I married. And he said, you've got some bad scars from TB on your lungs. So you ought to take cod liver oil in the winter. There it was again.
You couldn't get away from cod liver.
That was all right. But I did watch it, and when I got this awful cold and couldn't get rid of my cough, I thought, well, I better get checked out. And I did, and those scars were looking suspicious. They were starting to act up. So after Philip was born, I could not hold him. They didn't tell me this was going to happen. That was the most traumatic thing that ever happened in my life. Couldn't hold Philip. And he stayed in the hospital about 6 weeks after he was born. And then Bill's mother took him and kept him for a year and a half.
I know. And that was during the time that I came to Pine Mountain.
Yeah, he when was that was happening.
Yeah. Okay.
But Edna Patterson was very good with Philip.
Yes.
But that was Philip and I are just now bonding. Really. It's taken all these years. I don't know. It was a terrible experience. I don't want to do that again. Yes, I won't.
Well, I appreciate this, both of you. Have you thought of anything else you want to say before we turn it off?
About Pine Mountain, and I think we will always come up with new ones, things that we've done and so forth, and that's why I was so glad that I was called off to do take care of some of those things on the farm, but also was brave enough to order a sawmill and build a new chicken house. Mm-hmm. Boy, little house. I mean, we're talking about 100-foot chicken house.
Mm-hmm. When he mentions the chicken house, it makes me think of the times he would go off to Lexington for the Farmer's Week, and he had baby chickens in a little chicken house he'd built for him. It had a furnace, a brick furnace that you had to stoke periodically to keep the little babies warm. And if he's gone, who got up in the middle of the night and stoked the furnace?
Yes. First.
Okay, well, thanks again very much.